Il-program li ser tisimaw huwa miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri, inviting you to discover what research, projects and events are taking place at the University of Malta. Continuing our mini-series of programmes concerning the Faculty of Arts, I have with me today Professor Gloria Lauri Lucente and Professor Dominic Fenech. So, without further ado, Professor Lauri Lucente, I know that you would like to mention the work of the Department of Italian and also the wonderful MA in Literary Tradition and Popular Culture that you're offering to this very wide range of graduates.
Yes, first of all, I'd like to thank you for this wonderful initiative, because you're giving the Faculty of Arts the opportunity to actually talk about the different areas of study that we offer. And I'd like to focus primarily with the Department of Italian. Let's start with the Department of Italian. The teaching and research interests of the Department of Italian, well, they fall under four different groups. Italian literature, from the 200 to the 21st century. Medieval, therefore modern and contemporary literature. Italian linguistics, but also quite a focus on the influence of Italian on Maltese as well. Film studies. Film studies, we start out with actually the silent era up till the present day. And then there's comparative literature, primarily Anglo-Italian comparative literature and Italo-Maltese comparative literature. So students who would like to study for a BA in Italian have two options. They either study two areas of study. They enroll for actually, they sign up rather, for two different areas of study, which could be Italian and one other area within the humanities for the entire 3 years. Or else, after 1 year, in this first year, they would follow two areas, one of which obviously would be Italian. After their first year, they can then focus only on Italian and actually pursue an honors degree, which means that they would also be writing a dissertation at the end of the three-year program. The dissertation is quite a challenge, quite daunting, quite a feat, but on the other hand, the students normally, at least, well, we've seen from their reaction that they're quite happy with the result, because they end up writing about 18,000 words on an area which they themselves choose. We try and also give them great flexibility, particularly when it comes to the choice of the area of studies, or rather the area that they want to concentrate on in their dissertation.
And from what you've been saying, it's clear that this BA degree, whether it's a general or an honours degree, really covers a very wide scope within the Italian culture, Italian language.
Absolutely.
It's not just a narrow area of literature or linguistics,
it's very much
the culture as well.
In these past 4 years, I would say, we have really tried to revamp the program by introducing areas of study like laboratorio di scrittura, or even theory of literature, or even theory of the novel. We've also enhanced the filmic component, and we've introduced more units on film studies. So therefore, we're always trying to strengthen and consolidate the traditional component of the department, but we're always trying to introduce highly innovative and stimulating areas of study. And in fact, we have all these different, these new units which we have recently introduced over these past, I would say, 4 or 5 years.
What about your team? They have different areas of expertise.
Exactly.
Do you have any native Italian speakers?
Yes. Let me start with the senior professors, Professor Joseph Aino, who teaches theater studies. I'm afraid I did not mention theater studies because we often incorporate it within literature. But he teaches theater studies and also Italo-Maltese literature. And he's also head of the Department of Translation Terminology and interpreting. Then there's Professor Joseph Brincat, who is the linguist. He teaches the units on linguistics. Professor Joseph Pace-Asha teaches glottodidattica primarily. Then we have two native speakers, Dr. Valentino Baldi, who teaches primarily, but not exclusively, modern and contemporary literature, and also theory of literature and theory of the novel. And we also have a brand new lecturer, Dr. Fabrizio Foni, who is helping me out tremendously with the filmic component, but not exclusively. He's helping me continue to build the filmic component of the department.
The Italian language here in Malta has obviously for forever had a privileged position vis-à-vis other foreign languages such as Spanish or German. Do you think that that privileged position is as strong as it was? If not, why not?
Well, I don't think it is as strong as it was, and we would have to go into historical reasons as well for this. And there is more exposure, of course, to other languages, to Spanish, for example, to German, to French, but also to Chinese, to Arabic. Still, I think that Italian still holds quite a privileged position. Most Maltese understand Italian, even though, of course, in varying degrees. And there's always Italian television to which most Maltese are exposed, even though, I must say,
it's by cable.
Exactly. And however, Italian, definitely, there's quite a debate, an ongoing debate on how strong this position is. I think that because of its historical tradition and the geographical vicinity as well of Malta and Italy, well, for a number of reasons, I think that Italian definitely remains one of the important foreign languages here in Malta.
Well, certainly the geographical vicinity itself
really
helps, definitely.
It helps tremendously, of course. Sicily is only a few minutes away, of course, and Rome is only 1 hour away by plane, and again, you turn on TV, of course, there are so many programs in English, but there are also many programs in Italian. And that is something which we always encourage our students to watch. Telegiornale, for example. Even entertaining programs, but as well, really good political as well, TV talk shows, for example, like Ballarò or Matrix, so on and so forth.
So that's really talking about the bachelor's area, but you also provide the opportunity for master's programs.
Of course. Students can then pursue their studies in Italian. They can proceed with an MA by research, which means that they would have to write, of course, a much longer dissertation than their BA honors dissertation. And there's also a unit of methods of research and another unit, but it's primarily a master's by research. Now, many of our students actually do find employment. And I really would like to highlight this very, very important fact. So many people think that with a BA, your employment will end up being teaching. Not necessarily. Any BA within the humanities gives you great flexibility, and the job market is extremely varied for students with a degree in the humanities. This is the case for students who hold a degree in Italian or even an MA in Italian. Not all of our students end up teaching. Some of them do, of course, and that is exactly what they would like to do. But there are also many other careers that they can actually undergo.
With regards to Italian, what would you say was the skills set that your students come away with at the end of the day?
Well, the skills. First of all, there's flexibility, which I think is a characteristic. It's not easy to quantify with the humanities, but I would say flexibility is one of them. Of course, they can transfer the skill of a foreign language to other languages, and they can therefore learn other languages more easily. Translation as well, interpreting. There's a number of skills, but again, with the humanities, it's not so easy to actually pinpoint each skill. But some of the students, let me just mention some of the jobs that have been offered to our ex-students, to our graduates in Italian. Teaching, of course, translation, interpreting, of course, but also journalism, broadcasting, a career within the civil service, within various ministries. This goes to show that there is great flexibility within these degrees.
In the few minutes, unfortunately, we have at our disposal, please tell us about the Masters in Literary Tradition and Popular Culture, because I think that will be fascinating
for listeners. It's a very, very fascinating program. We've had our second intake this year of students, the Masters in Literary Tradition and Popular Culture. Well, we could have easily named it comparative literature, but I wanted to give it a distinctive cast, a specific configuration, which means that we put together two different disciplines which normally clash. They do not complement each other, and instead we're very interested on the way they actually interact with one another. And I'm talking about canonicity or canonical literature or literary tradition on the one hand and popular culture on the other. In other words, we can see the various permutations that a canonical literary work such as Dante's Commedia or Shakespeare or even more recently Jane Austen or the Bronte sisters, so on and so forth. What happens when they are transposed, when they are transferred into an entirely different realm and they become popular culture? What is the afterlife of a canonical work? Or else we can also start with a film, for example, and go back to its biblical roots. In fact, if we look at the units that we offer, let me just mention very briefly some of them. There's only one compulsory unit, and it's called Readings in Literary Tradition and Popular Culture, and that actually introduces the students to theory of literature, which then they can apply to the readings of canonical works and also popular culture. But then we also offer these units, Sympathy for the Devil, for example, Representation of Satan in Western Literature and Popular Culture, or The Avant-Garde, and that's of course a unit that has to do with 20th century art and literature, Film Adaptations, the Literary Tradition and the Other Arts, the Beginnings of Mass Culture, and the Bible and Popular Culture, what I was talking about earlier, film, for example, and the Bible, or even computer games and the Bible, Decadence, Disenchantment, Destruction, the Aesthetics of Decline, particularly after 9/11. Just think about all these apocalyptic works that have been produced. Then there's another unit on film technology and the literary canon and the Mediterranean and representations of the Mediterranean. Another unit on Kafka, but not just Kafka, but rather Kafka and the various intertextual references as well to Kafka. And then finally, there's one other course on translation, transformation, and rewriting. In other words, how texts are translated and how they also become texts within the realm of popular culture. We also offer units, and this is going to start next year actually, with the Department of English and also the Department of Philosophy, units on a modular basis. So our students will have the opportunity to choose units from the Department of English and also the Department of Philosophy. Same thing with their MA, they will be able to choose units which we offer.
And who can take up this master's?
Anyone who is in possession of a first degree, second, lower, upwards. This is, in other words, a degree which welcomes holders of any first degree from different areas. And in fact, if you look at the students in the first intake, we had about 20 students, and we now have about 16 students, and they come from very different areas. And somehow or other, they manage to form a very cohesive group, even though they come from so many different areas of expertise.
Also with me in the studio today is Professor Dominic Fenech. Professor Fenech is head of the Department of History and is also Dean of the Faculty of Arts, about which we are speaking in this mini-series. I think that perhaps one should start off with a general question about the department. We're going to focus on your department issues today rather than the faculty issues. The Department of History has been around for quite some time. Tell us a little bit about the background.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. The department is, let's say, one of the oldest, one of the most established, the Faculty of Arts in the university. It goes back literally many decades. It is also one of the flag bearers of the faculty. I would say out of the 16 departments that the faculty has today, it's one of the biggest three. It's composed of 8 full-timers. A number of these are quite senior academics, but everybody is highly accomplished here. And our specialisms are mostly based on the kind of historical period which we focus on. So we have 2 medievalists, we have 2 early modern history, by early modern, of course, anything from the 16th century onwards. We have 2 modern and contemporary historians, one of them is me, and we have an economic historian and a demographic historian. So between us, we cover quite a range of historical periods, starting from the Middle Ages right down to the present day. And I emphasize to the present day, because we don't see history from the philosophical, historiographical point of view. We don't see history as an antiquity, with something which, not a museum here of facts, but the philosophy of our department is that we study history in order to understand the world that we live in today. So what happened in the Middle Ages somehow is going to explain what's going on today. This is why we have courses which actually take us to right the day that we are speaking. So the history department has quite a variety of specialisms and interests.
Apart from the fact that obviously history is a wonderful subject and fascinating at all levels, what reason would you give to a student who's thinking about coming to university? What would you say to a student who said, you know, I'm not quite sure what course I'm going to take, I'm sort of interested in history? Why should a student take up history at the university level?
Of course, if a student doesn't quite know what subject to take, I think one of the considerations is the level of excellence of a given department. This is one consideration. And even if I say so myself, our department has that level of excellence.
Yes.
History is, I would call it, a mother subject. First of all, it gave birth to a number of areas of study, which today have become departments in their own right, even within my faculty itself. I would link my answer to what I have just said about the way we see history. It's not a museum of past events, but it's a continuum, a process which helps us to understand the world we live in. Now, whether that's the bigger world, where so much is happening all the time, everything has an explanation in history, deep down, or else the local world, Maltese history, because our program is about 1/3 Maltese history and 2/3 international history. It used to be European history, but with time we have expanded the notion of international history to mean more than just Europe. Europe is, of course, very important, and for centuries it was the most important continent in the world in terms of activity, what was going on. But we remember our traditional, for example, Mediterranean focus. The University of Malta and the Department of History were amongst the first anywhere in the world to teach Mediterranean history. And of course, beyond Europe, beyond the Mediterranean, world history. If you're going to take history right down to the present day, then you have to go out of Europe, you have to go beyond, you have to go to the whole planet. Now, from that kind of exposure to knowledge and to the ability to analyze knowledge and to give it pertinence, to give it relevance to understanding the present day, then that student could start gleaning what sort of support this is going to give her or him, for example, in terms of career. Let's take one career which young people today dream about. They see yellow stars in their dreams and they think, wouldn't it be nice to find a job in Brussels, for example? Of course, not everybody is going to find a job in Brussels, but just to give you an example, I don't think there's any better way of capturing the European soul than knowing Europe's history. And I don't mean just the political history, but the social history, its cultural history. All these elements fall within the scope of our history program. A job, if you want to make a career in diplomacy, if you have a history program which is training you to understand the world you live in, I don't think you'd go wrong if that's where you want to go. If you want to go into journalism, unfortunately, journalists tend to analyze facts on the basis of what happened last week at most, or maybe the month before. They don't go back in time sufficiently. But a historian, of course, would instinctively go for the perspective. Now, if you look, just to give you an example, it's what's happening in Crimea and Ukraine and the Russian Federation today, something which is very much, and will continue to be for a while, the focus of news people. It's good to know that the Crimea was conquered by Catherine the Great in 1774. To be drawn into Russia. It's good to know that there was a war in the middle of the 19th century, precisely in the Crimea. It's good to know that this has been a very vital strategic peninsula in the Black Sea, which eventually leads out to the Mediterranean, which eventually leads out to the bigger oceans. So somebody who has a knowledge and a grasp of history would be able to analyze and understand what's happening now. Because they would know that this is not something which started last month. And again, if you have studied in the meantime the history of Russia, the history of divided Europe between East and West, the Cold War, the quarter century that has passed since the end of the Cold War, all these go together in order to create the framework and give you the perspective for an issue which seems to be something we started a few weeks ago. With regard to Maltese history, I think on a different level you could say the same. I've studied deeply, in the sense of having researched it, the interwar years. And I don't think there's any issue today, political issue, which hadn't been somehow raised, of course, in a different method. They didn't talk of computers or gas storage tankers in those days. But the way politicians related to each other, the way they appealed to their constituents, so on and so forth. And of course, our long and rich constitutional history, all these go into understanding the world we live in. So, as I said, if you're looking at career to do with the European Union, diplomacy, journalism, television, our graduates have found jobs in the most various activities. Sometimes you'd wonder, and you ask them, how did you manage to get this job, the degree in history? Oh, well, because I went to an interview and they asked me this and that.
They knew the answer.
Yeah, a student, for example, a history graduate who found herself having a good job when the National Office of Statistics was created some years back. Why? Because she had done a dissertation on local history and she had used very much censuses and blue books and other forms of statistics. So she knew what she was talking about. Recently, I was very pleased to find that a history graduate had just competed with something like 120 other graduates from different faculties and actually got the job, quite a good, responsible position in the Italian embassy. I'm sure his knowledge of history helped him. It wasn't just because he was a good student.
This is the sort of the skill sets that these students come out with that will give them access, as you say, to various jobs, that ability to analyze, to research, which then can be transposed into the most diverse areas, really.
Yeah, of course, the arts graduate, the BA graduate, is not trained for a specific profession. He's not trained to become a lawyer or an engineer or a surgeon. So the more you have of these skills and the more grasp of them, you mentioned analytical skills, writing skills, all these will come in very useful eventually in any job. And when you apply for a job, this is the kind of question you can expect, or exercise, if it's an examination, you can expect to have to face. There's not just one road to salvation, or not just one road to Rome, but let's say the history road is well paved and well signposted.
And these undergraduate students, of course, if they are particularly interested in history, can actually then go on to do a master's within your department as well, or within other departments.
Yes. The research MA, the research PhD have been around for a long time, and that of course is an intimate kind of research experience with a supervisor backing you up and so on and so forth. Nowadays we are opening up into the taught MAs as a department, as a faculty. Most of these taught MAs require a good degree, a good first degree, rather than a degree in a specific subject. One of the more popular degrees, in fact, currently the only taught MA that the history department offers, although we do contribute to other MAs, like the forthcoming MA in Mediterranean Studies, but a taught MA which is offered by the history department, quite a successful MA, is the MA in Hospitaller Studies, that is, which concentrates on the period of the Order of St. John. Actually, not just the period of the Order of St. John, because they go into the history of the Order of St. John even before they came to Malta. Of course, they had been in existence a long time before that. So that's quite an attractive master's. But then, of course, we as a department have a very strong tradition of the research MA.
Well, if anybody listening to this wants to know more about the Department of History, of course, they can go on the website and sure, they can see who the staff are and what the credits are that you actually teach. So I recommend that people do go on the website and have a look for further information. Thank you very, very much, Professor Fenwick and Professor Gloria Lauri-Lucente, for talking to us about your departments today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to University Matters on Campus FM. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.
Il-program li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġġub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.